Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Prophecy in the Spotlight. We're continuing our journey through the book of Revelation. And some of you remember last week, we had a special guest in, so we paused our series temporarily. We had William P. Grady with his book, Perilous Times. I hope you've ordered that book. Tremendous, tremendous insight in there. And what we're going to do for the next couple of weeks, we're going to stagger. We're going to go back and forth. Next week, we'll have Brother Grady again, and then the week after that, we'll be back for the Revelation again. I don't know how else to do it, but we wanted to get Brother Grady in here, but we need to get this journey of the Revelation done as well. So today, we're going to talk about chapter 17 and possibly chapter 18. I want to read one verse to you, and then I'll bring Doc in here. Revelation 17, verse 5 says this, "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." What in the world is all? By the way, it's in bold type. And that's the way the translators did it. Bold type. This is an important verse, and this is an important chapter. And we're going to discuss this in today's program, so stand by. Hey, welcome, Brother Goodwin. Dr. Charles Hiltabiddle. We're continuing our journey through the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be about 20 sessions, Doc, before we get done. I don't know if we've told the folks, but we're going to try to put all of these YouTube videos on a flash drive, a USB drive for your computer, mm-hmm. and we'll offer that to the folks. I'm hoping they all fit on a flash drive. Right. I don't know. That's like 10 hours worth it might fit. We're going to try, and then you folks can, at your own leisure, you can start in the first session, go all the way, because some folks have missed some of them.
Sure.
But they are all on YouTube. In fact, all of our television shows are on YouTube. And so if something should happen, and we're not on CTN, if you watch us on CTN, and something happens and we're no longer here, you just got to find us on YouTube, Prophecy in the Spotlight on YouTube. Real simple.
That might be a good time to talk about if we don't get some extra funds in.
Yeah. We are in the worst financial situation that I can remember in the 4 years we've done this.
Yeah.
We are halfway through the build period, but we're not halfway. We're only a third, maybe. We need about $10,000,
right,
in 6 weeks. Now, it seems like the last month is where a lot of
right.
people give, especially the bigger givers. But there's no guarantee that that's going to happen.
Yep.
The economy is bad. Some people are having to choose and making some cuts, and I understand
right.
that. And I wouldn't want anybody to give food money.
No.
I wouldn't want you to not pay one of your bills.
We're not a prophecy ministry where you plant your seed with us and watch it grow junk.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
And don't take your money you give to the Lord at your church. Don't take that money and give it to a ministry on television. And we're not trying to talk you out of giving. We want you to give right.
Yeah.
We want you to
but
do
if
it
it's
right.
where you can, we greatly
yeah.
appreciate
yeah.
because if we don't have it, we won't be able to stay on television.
CTN is our biggest burden financially.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nationwide channel. I don't know how many people watch. Nobody, they don't subscribe to that mm-hmm. that thing that tells you. But we know there's thousands, but we don't know how many thousands. But we're
right.
also on BBS Radio, which is internet, for a fraction of the cost. We're getting 40,000. Doc, 40,000. Last time I checked, and I missed last month. Because
mm-hmm.
It starts over. Mm-hmm. if you miss the last day of the month, it's gone. So I've got to look the end of this month and see how many 40,000 people
yep.
clicked. At least they clicked and saw the show. Now, that doesn't mean they watched the whole thing.
Right.
But we might not have that many on CTN. I don't know. We're on VTN in Arkansas every week, just like we are right here. all of Arkansas and some of Missouri. That's on Saturdays, we're on there. We're on Cool TV in Minnesota. Hmm. I'm not even sure what Cool TV is, but we're on it. Yep. And in Minnesota. We got a lot of folks in Minnesota, by the way. I get a lot of checks, a lot of emails from people in Minnesota. Maybe Cool TV, I don't know.
People appreciate our ministry. We appreciate them.
And we're on YouTube. We're on several radio stations that's just audio. Mm-hmm. BBS Radio, by the way, is our TV show. It's video. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah. And I'm looking at one I haven't even told you about, Doc. I'm going to be going to meet a guy, and he has a network in 17 states. He wants us on his network. Mm-hmm. So we're going to look into that. Yep. But right now, we're struggling to find out how we're going to stay on CTN.
Amen.
So the bill is due the end of September, October 1st, somewhere in there. Right now, I can't even come close. Right now, we need $10,000 more. So I'd like to see somebody out there write a check for $5,000, put it in the mail, or contact us, do a credit card, whatever. We could use a couple of 2,000 givers, some 1,000 givers, some 500 givers. And we don't get the money. Doc and I get none of this. We get no salary here. And this is the way we've done it for over 4 years.
It's just for airtime.
And if something changes, somebody throws a bunch of money at us, we might get a little salary. But when we have our own ministries, we're fine. Yeah. So pray about it. Pray about supporting the ministry here if you can. Again, I don't want you to take your food money and send it to our network. We're looking for some folks that have a little money and would like to do something for the Lord. Let's share this, Doc. There's no ministry like our ministry.
I don't think so.
I'm 100% sure of that. I'm talking about nationwide. There are churches who go on TV on Sundays for their TV show, but those are regional. They're local. Mm-hmm. It's local TV. Yeah. There is nobody that I know of on national television that subscribes to the King James Bible, old-fashioned like we are, and there's no ministry like us. And I really feel like we need to be out there, and I'd hate to see us not be able to stay with CTN. And but it's in God's hands. I've got no money, and I don't have $10,000, and so we need your help.
Amen.
Look, a bunch of $50 givers, and we have a lot of people to give. And but right now, I'm a little nervous because we're getting up close to the deadline here.
Yeah.
By the time this airs, I think it'll be 9 weeks out or something like that, 8 weeks, I don't know. No, that's not
right.
It'll
be less than that.
No, right now it's 6 weeks.
Yeah, so
when this airs, it will be like 5 weeks out or less. I think this is airing 5 days from now, Doc, or... I don't even know what day this is. We just got back from Maine, and I'm all confused. But this is Saturday. So six days from now, we're going to air on CTN.
Anyway, we appreciate that help. Now we better get to our lesson.
Yeah. All right, Revelation 17. The theme that I have in my Revelation study guide is the fall of religious Babylon. Mm-hmm. Revelation 18, when you turn the page, I wrote for the theme, the fall of political Babylon. Mm. There's one Babylon, but it's made of two entities.
It's really made of three entities. It has the religious and the political and the economic tied together. And they're all literally tied together.
Yeah.
And
I give the illustration of Congress. We talk about our Congress. There's one Congress, but that Congress is made up of two entities, the House and the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one body, but it's made up of two entities there.
Right.
And it's the same thing with Babylon. Babylon, you go all the way back to Constantine, 313 A.D., Constantine made the big mistake of joining the religious with the political. Yeah. He thought... the political involved in the army.
It was already before his time ready for that.
Yeah.
Stage was set for it. But that's nothing new.
Yeah.
because you, the verse you started with, verse 5, talks about Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. That takes you all the way back to Nimrod's world and Babel.
Yeah.
When it talks about the mother of harlots. And I know there's a misnomer among a lot of people that study prophecy, and that is everybody inserts the Catholic Church. And I'm not saying that it isn't, because the Catholic Church is a modern rendition of original Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
But here it says very plainly, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. And so what we're really seeing is in what we're going to look at in chapter 17, and I'm not sure we'll get it all done today, but in chapter 17, you're looking at, in John, when he's writing, John's writing in this in about 97, 98 AD, somewhere in that neighborhood. The Catholic Church, as we know it, didn't come into existence
200 years later.
200 years later.
Yep.
So who's John looking at when he talks about Babylon? He's talking about the Babylonian system that existed throughout all of the cultures of the earth, all of them rooted back at Babel.
Yeah.
And so when the Bible talks about Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, it's talking about all of the false religions that have engulfed the entire world that are absolutely all rooted out of Babel.
And so we see, you know, when it talks about she's the mother of something,
yes.
This religious entity,
yes,
is the mother of something, these little other entities.
Yes.
And some of that we see with the Protestant Reformation.
Absolutely.
They came out of her, and many of them are going back.
And a lot of people, when they study prophecy, they say, well, it's the Catholic Church, and it's the Protestants coming back together. That's true, but it is much larger,
yeah,
and farther back into history than just 300s.
Yeah. See, I'm doing a series, getting ready to start, and you had written this thing and sent it to him. We're going to talk about some of this, and it's amazing to me how this fit with the series that I'm getting ready to do. It's called the Return of Rome. Because that's what's coming. The Roman Empire never left.
And, no, it's...
And you point that out in here.
Yeah.
It is, it was, it is, and yet to come.
The system itself, we call it the Roman system. But the Roman system is actually, it goes all the way back...
To Babylon.
To Babylon, and below Babylon to its roots at Babel. And there you had, under Nimrod, you had a religious, political, and economic system, a one world order.
Yeah.
And this is what we're talking about. And chapter 17 is giving you information about the end time final Gentile rule. And I've got a 4-CD set on this. The first one is about Mystery Babylon. It's historical information. And then 17, 18. And so all of it goes back, and it is tied there. That same system is basically going to be the final Gentile system. It's called Babylon the Great.
Yeah. And so what she just had up there is the CD sets you have. They can call in and get or they can go on the website.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about the revived Roman Empire, we're talking about Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about that last kingdom. You got Babylon. They're overtaken by the Persians, Medes and the Persians.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few hundred years later, Greece comes along. Yep. Alexander the Great is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes over. He's the world leader over Israel and all that. And then Rome over... By the way, all these countries were already there.
Yeah.
The Persians were there when Babylon was in power. But Babylon was the head of it all. And then Persia became the head of it all. And then Alexander the Great overtakes these other kingdoms. Well, then... The Caesars of Rome. Rome suddenly takes over Greece, and now they're the world empire. And they lasted a long time, very powerful.
And then that kind of, as chapter 17 says, that kingdom is going to pass away. but then it's going to come back again.
So it never fully leaves, does it? So that's why we call it, you know, you won't see the term revised Roman Empire. If you do a search, it's not there.
No.
It's something that we get from Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. And that empire comes back into the ten toes.
Yeah. And if you, and then when you look at Daniel chapter 11, then you discover the four major entities in the end time of the kings, the king of the north, south, east. And the king of the west is, I believe, this system that we're looking at here. That's the Antichrist kingdom.
And Revelation 13, 1 and 2 goes hand in hand with Daniel 2, Daniel 7. It's the same four kingdoms of the world.
Right.
Only John sees them backwards because he's in the future looking back. Yeah. So he starts with Rome and goes back all the way to Babylon. And what we learn there is, in the end time, the statue that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about is going to stand on its feet. You got the ten toes. Then it's now complete. Stands on its feet, and it's going to be the revised empire,
and chapter 13 have parallel information because we're talking in here where it talks about the beast. Well, the beast that it's talking about is the beast of chapter 13. And then also the religion that we see in chapter 17 is the second beast of chapter 13.
Now, I'm trying to find a way that we can get this to our people.
Well,
there's three pages here, and I read this today, and I was quite excited about it. And I'm gonna ask you a couple of questions and let you talk about some of this because it's right out of Revelation 70. But if she'll put my Henry VIII book up there, I want to just say a word because this book is very applicable to Revelation 17 and Revelation 18 because what happens is, when the Antichrist goes into the temple, the middle of the tribulation, and the two witnesses are killed, and then the 144,000 become believers, they run for their lives, he's going to kill all the Jews, he chases them. Something else happens. It doesn't happen right away, but sometime at the middle or thereafter, the Antichrist is now become God.
Yeah. He's proclaimed himself God.
And he doesn't feel like he needs the religious guy.
He doesn't need it.
Because remember, there's two beasts. You got the beast out of the sea, the beast on the land. The Antichrist is being propped up by the false prophet, who's the other beast. And he's the beast from the water, I believe.
Right. And in chapter 17, it talks about this. Yeah.
And so that false prophet is the religious guy of the Babylonian system.
I don't know if it's
propping up the political guy.
I don't know if it's going to be there will be an entity, an individual. But it's often, when it talks about, sometimes the beast is talking about the system.
Right, that's
right. And other times it's talking about the individual.
Yep.
This is a religious system that is there. And I think at the middle of the tribulation is when that religious system is done away.
It's like Daniel 2. Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, thou art that head of gold. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes the head of gold is referenced to a kingdom.
Yep.
But it goes hand in hand that the kingdom is
with the king,
the guy.
Yep.
I mean, Henry VIII was England. He was the ruler, and so you had Great Britain, but he was Great Britain. And you know, I was in the Navy when the captain came on board. I was on the USS Savannah, and when he came on board, like it were docked. When he came on board, they whistled and they said, "USS Savannah now arriving." That meant the captain was coming on. Same thing.
Yeah.
He is the ship. He's the captain of it. I wrote a book. It's not a big book, 24 pages. I'm kind of proud of this book. I used real fancy glossy paper in it. There's some color in there. This book talks about the 500-year-old prophecy of Henry VIII. Now, it's not a prophecy, but I just use that wording. It's not a Bible prophecy, but what happened in Henry VIII's life is going to happen again. What Henry VIII did, and folks know the story of Anne Boleyn, he wanted to marry Anne Boleyn. He wanted to divorce Catherine. Catherine was his first wife. She was staunch Catholic. He's Catholic too, but not like her. And she was the earpiece for the Pope. She was important to them because she kept them in the loop of what's going on in Great Britain, in England. And so when he sent word to the Pope that he wanted permission to divorce Catherine and marry Anne, they sent word back, it is not lawful for thee, you cannot. So what did he do? He divorced the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And he married Anne, and he formed his own church called the Church of England.
Yeah.
And the Anglican Church came out of that, and it's still there. Mm-hmm. So Henry VIII threw the church leader under the bus, and he became the head of not only the state, but the head of the church.
Yep.
That's going to be repeated.
And that still is the way in England today.
That's going to be repeated in the tribulation. Yep. That's what this book is.
That's very good.
Yep. There's some wonderful stuff. I give the history of the different kings, and there's the story of the nine-day queen, Lady Jane. Yep. Jane Grey, just powerful story. I wish I had time to read this paragraph here. Folks, that's on the website. It'd be a big help to you. Good history lesson
but
there.
But that's true. That's what's going to happen. I believe it's going to be at the middle of
somewhere
the tribulations.
He doesn't.
No longer needed.
Yeah. Now, does he kill him? And it isn't just a person, like you said.
It's a system.
The person will be thrown under the bus, but he becomes the system.
Somehow or another, that system is going to now become all centered around the Antichrist.
And the mark of the beast comes there.
All of it comes in together.
So, Doc, let's talk about a little bit in here. We don't have a lot of time. In keeping with the laws of the harvest, Scripture teaches that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. The harlot system has seduced men and nations. And you can see that in history, for goodness sakes. You can watch Hollywood movies,
still
old black
going
and white
on
movies.
Today.
It's all there. The political power of these religious institutions.
Oh, yes.
And that sits on many waters refers to worldwide unification and control.
That's
the waters
right.
refers to the nations. This is the religious. This is 17. This is the is the beast that comes out of the water.
It's going to be a unified world system without true Christianity.
Yeah. This is an alliance. The church, when the church is raptured, the apostate system, which will already have spread its tentacles all over the world, and it has.
Yep.
We have six Roman Catholics on the Supreme Court, six of the nine. Many of the congressmen, Pelosi, Schumer. I mean, some of the most wicked, vile political people are Roman Catholics. Yep. That should make Roman Catholics wonder, what's going on here?
Yep.
Why are they all so evil? I don't know. Maybe it's there or something to do with their mother, huh?
It may have. Yep.
In the one world system, religious system will be in place. There will be a human being that's involved in that, whether it's the Pope or somebody else.
There'll be somebody heading. And the Pope, I'm convinced, I think that's going to be the leading force. We're watching it already. You're seeing these convocations where he brings all of the different religions together. They'll even go over to the Tower of Ur and have a prayer vigil with all these. The stage is being set for this.
Yeah. And I'm reading right out of your notes here, but Satan will finally get what he spent 4,000 years recovering from the Tower of Babel, the confusion that God brought to slow it down.
When the rapture takes place, he will finally be able to do what he wanted to do 4,000 years ago. He'll be able now to have that one world order, only it's going to be much bigger than it was then. It's a total global situation.
Yeah, he'll control everything. Everything you buy or sell will be controlled by that
mark. And we might just stop here and make sure everybody understands. What we're talking about here is not just something started. This is the seventh parallel, and this is information. And what we're talking about here started at the beginning in chapter number 6.
Yeah.
At the first white horse rider.
Yep.
So this is information. This is why it's called a parallel. It's information running parallel with the narrative of the 7-year tribulation period. And so this system, I believe this is where your 10 kings, I think, come into play, is in the first half of the tribulation period.
And you talk about them in here. I mean, there's no way we can get into all this, but... I like what you said here. They have been made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And that's right out of Revelation 17.
Yes, that's it.
And the Antichrist political system in terms of the past, present, and future.
Well, can you imagine, Dan, back to the thought we had a while ago about whenever that religious system is going to be absolved in whatever format it is and brought into that final one world worship of the Antichrist. Can you imagine the selling off of all of the assets of the Islamic crowd, the Roman Catholic crowd, and the Mormon crowd, and all these other? Can you imagine?
And you know, for all of them to come together,
yes,
they've got to strip out a lot of doctrine from each one, including the Catholic. Yeah. Everyone's got to give and take. Yeah. So that they can all have unity.
Well,
and
they'll all be underneath a delusion full force by that time.
Yeah.
Because we, the restrainers of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, with the Holy Spirit, we will have been removed. So there won't be any restraint to it. And already doctrine doesn't matter to the greater majority of these people.
Someone got to
anyway.
Me in 1981 and got me out. Because I grew up in it. And I was baptized as a little baby. And I was in that system, but somebody got to me in 1981 and pulled me out.
And a lot of people have gotten to people with truth.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you that what we're watching on a world scale, we mentioned it a while ago before we started recording, the number of politicians around the world that are all of a sudden converting to Catholicism.
J.D. Vance, just a few years ago, he's running for vice president. Yep. A good man, but I question his religious understanding.
I'm saying, but it's all over the world.
What's the black lady, the real conservative?
Candace Owens.
Candace Owens. She became a Catholic recently, and that's their business. Yeah. I know that they can do what they want.
And you're hearing of people that are looked up to by lots of people. Converting to Catholicism.
You know, people, you want to study some history, folks, go back and study the founders of America.
Yep.
Find out what they thought. They hated it. They hated that religion.
Now, they saw that religion.
They came out of some of that.
Because it was a tool that controlled governments.
Yep.
And they were setting up a government that was underneath the guidelines of basically Scripture.
Yep.
Not a organization.
Yep. I mean, it's filled with idolatry and worship of statues and images and all kinds of.
Yep.
I still see this stupid the veil of whatever you call it.
Yeah, the term.
That is nothing but a lie. There's no truth to that.
We're about out of time already.
Maybe
next session we'll get through chapter 17.
So we'll have to finish a few things here. I got some lessons I want to give, some application. We'll do that in the next show. But next week, Brother Gray will be back. Fantastic show. You're going to love it. Get his book if you haven't already. Get my new book, The Prophecy Puzzle, is out. Get that if you haven't got it yet. Many of you already ordered it. And just exciting things going on. I want to talk more about that prophecy puzzle in a later show. But I got lessons and application here for you next time we come on. Until then, keep your eyes on them skies.